This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can praise your name, that we can glorify your name, that we can exalt your name, that we can sing out of our heart who you are in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you're always listening. And we may be not hearing it, but most probably the angels are singing along, praising your name, glorifying your name for who you are. And thank you, Father, that we can become quiet, that we can come still this afternoon and listen to your words. What is it what you want to share with us? What is on your heart? What do you want to bring to us? And Father, I pray that our hearts are going to be open, that our hearts are going to receive from what you want to give to us this afternoon. And yes, maybe we've got things in our head of what happened earlier today or this week, or what is keeping us busy at the moment in this period, this whole corona thing. But Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we can just hear yours, that there's no filter, there's nothing in between, that we will have a direct line with you, Father, that we can receive what you want to share with us this afternoon. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Marco and Derek. Awesome. It's always good to hear it and to see it. You're singing out of your heart, and then it's also easy for us to sing along. Not really the way what we would like to do. We would like to sing a little bit harder. But unfortunately, the government is not allowing us, so we've got to keep that a little bit into mind. God gave to me the words follow up, where I've got to preach about. And the story what we're going to have a look at is where Jesus is talking to the rich man, the rich young man. And I'm going to ask you a quick question. How rich are you? Some of them have got a smile on their face, and some of them they have a look at me. What do you want to know, my bank account, or what do you want to know now from me? No, I'm just asking, how rich are you?
Very rich.
Very rich. He's very rich because he's got God. That's why he's rich. At a certain time in my life, I was always driving approximately 100 kilometers a day, 50 kilometers in the morning, 50 kilometers in the afternoon. And then I had a look at the cars which were also driving there, and I saw the Mercedes, the Jaguars, and all those type of cars, and I thought, very nice. Maybe one day I can also afford it. I may be also rich that I can drive one of those cars. But in that time as well, my head knowledge of God changed to a heart knowledge. So I started to understand what God really means. And I started looking differently at the people. And I thought, from the outside, they maybe have got a car and they may be wealthy. But do they know God? Because I may be not driving the fanciest vehicle, but I know I'm rich. That's what Marinix just now said. He's rich, and I know why he's rich. Because he's got God. And that's a beautiful thing. Well, we're going to have a look a little bit today at where Jesus is talking to the rich man. He had possessions, earthly possessions. But there was one thing where he was battling with. What we're going to read, I've chosen the story out of Mark. We can find it in Matthew, we can find it in Mark, and we can find it in Luke. And some of the information is actually helping up to get the total story, because in some of them they're talking about a young man, the other is talking about a rich man, the other one about a ruler, so we can add it up and then we can get a little bit of a total story. I'm not continuously comparing it. But we're going to have a look at Mark, and then we're going to have a look at Mark 10 from the verses 17 to 22. Jesus just had spoken to the children and he had blessed the children. And then it says, now as he was going out on the road, that's then Jesus going out on the road, One came running. This is now the rich young man, because we know from the other books, from Matthew and Luke, this is a young man, a wealthy man, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit life?" What is God doing? He's submitting himself directly to Jesus. He's on his knees. He's saying, "Okay, good teacher." And immediately approaches him as a teacher as well. And by saying that, he actually opens him up. That he says, "Teacher, you can speak into my life. You're allowed to speak into my life." And the teacher, the words, didaskalos, didactics, we can pick it up from there as well, is an instructor, it's a doctor, it's a master, it's a teacher. Somebody can speak into somebody else's life, but knowledgeable. And then out of Luke, we also can see that the rich man, he was a ruler. So he was somewhere in the Jewish structure. He was also an important person over there. And then if we listen that he says, "Good teacher," then it reminds us of Nicodemus, also in conversation with Jesus, also talking about teacher, exactly the same. So the question, what he's basically asking, what must I do to be happy forever? As easy as that. You maybe put it in a little bit different. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? But what must I do to be happy forever? And I think if we were going to ask those questions outside and we say, "Do you want to be happy forever?" that there are going to be quite a few people who are going to say, "Yes, I would like to be happy forever." And then we can share the gospel with them. But the reason that that young man is asking that question is that something is bothering him. Because if there wasn't anything, he wouldn't have gone to Jesus. He knew everything he had. He knew the Jewish law. He was a ruler. He knew everything. But still he's going to Jesus. Still what he heard about Jesus was attracting him to Jesus. The reason that he said, "Good teacher," it also shows that it's the first time that he had contact with Jesus. And then Jesus is replying then to him. And the way that the young man approached him with, "Good teacher, what must I do?" Jesus is breaking it up actually also in two. And he replies in two different segments, we can actually say it. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God." We've been singing it just now. Good, good Father. He is good. God is good. "Why do you call me good?" Yeah, Jesus is asking it. If the young man would have come maybe to me, I would have said, if he says, "Good teacher," I would have said, "Thank you for the compliment. It's the best one I got today. Please tell me more." That's what we would have done. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't take the focus on himself. He immediately put the focus on God. That's where it is going about. It's about God. It's not about himself. And he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good. No one is good but one, and that is God." And then the second part. So first Jesus puts his focus on God, and then he replies on the second part, on that question, "What shall I do to get eternal life? What must I do to be happy forever?" And then he replies with it, and he says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." What answer is that? The guy's asking, "What must I do to get in heaven?" And Jesus is giving him, in Jewish terms, half an answer, because he only gives half of the commandments. What's actually behind it? Why is Jesus doing that? Is he playing with him? Or what is Jesus doing there? Because the Ten Commandments, they were given by God to Moses, and it also says they were written by the finger of God. But Jesus is only quoting the second part. Jesus is not quoting the first part. He's not mentioning the first part. Because the problem of that guy was in the first part. This is where he had a problem. And Jesus is basically saying, you know the commandments. He's not asking them that he should do them. He's just saying, you know the commandments. And the commandments are not going to get you saved. That we will hear later on as well then. And once Jesus said, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witnesses, and do not defraud, and honor your father and your mother, then the young rich man actually jumps in, both feet, in reaction of what Jesus has said. He just, with his eyes open, he just walks into the, I don't want to call it a trap, but a type of a way that Jesus is guiding him over there. Immediately reacts on it. Exactly what Jesus wanted, because Jesus knew what was going on in his head. And he answers and he says, teacher, again, respecting Jesus, all these things I've kept from my youth. In Matthew, it also says, what do I lack? What he still adds to it. So what he's doing is basically confessing what he's always been doing. But at the same time, this young man is also asking a question. I'm doing this. Is this not good enough? Is this not what is going to give me that happy forever? Do you think he kept all the commandments? No. He had a problem. And the problem was that money was his idol. Money was his God. And Jesus didn't go to him and immediately reacted on that first part. Jesus started a conversation with him. Because I don't think that a guy kept all the commandments. Because if we listen to the first one, Exodus 20, 2 and 3, where God is saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. Amen. What was the God of this guy? Money. That is, we all see it just now, because he had a problem with it. And his God was money. Money and wealth were giving him that status. He must probably had a status in that community as well. Because if you were wealthy in a Jewish community, you were seen as successful and you were also seen as high up. You were getting into a certain positions. The backside of it is meaning is that he also was full of pride, most probably, that as a wealthy man, he was looking down on the poor because he was wealthy. People could see it and people could hear it. And if we take a look at the Bible, then besides the kingdom of God, this is the second subject that Jesus spoke about the most, and that's about money, because that's the biggest problem what we've got. Paul is also writing in Timothy. He's writing to Timothy as well, and he says, for the love of money is a root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money is a problem. If money is the first thing we'll be looking at, then that is going to give us the problem. So the young man said, I've kept all of them from my youth. And then Jesus' reaction is coming back again. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. There's one thing what's missing. And then Jesus is actually not saying what he is missing, but he's just giving the instruction what to do. So Jesus is actually jumping from the first part of the answer, he's jumping to the last part and tell them what he has got to do. He doesn't give them a nice explanation, okay, this and that and that and that. He's not even talking about the first commandment. But in between, we can read it. Go your way. Sell whatever you've got. Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. It was apparently custom that if a rabbi would have given a question to his disciples, to his pupils, if they would have answered correctly, that they would kiss them on the forehead. Now, if I don't know who's a teacher over here, but if you're going to do that with each and every pupil, what you've got to kiss them on your forehead, you're going to be quite busy in school. But apparently that's what was happening. And it could have happened over there as well, because this young man was on his knees before Jesus, and he was acknowledging him as a teacher, as a rabbi. So it could have been that Jesus kissed him on the forehead as well. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus loves his creation. We can see it over here again. He wants to help him. He wants to do whatever he can do for him. But Jesus is handling the situation differently as what we would do it. If that rich man would have walked over here, we most probably would have told him immediately, "This is your problem, guy. You've got your money, which is your idol. Get rid of that stuff and follow God's instructions, follow Jesus. Then you will be happy for the rest of your life." But if we're going to react directly on such a type of a situation, we are actually condemning that person and we're closing doors. It makes it difficult then to speak to such a person. On Thursday evening, we had the privilege to evangelize in town over here, and we met a lady, and in the first sentence, she already mentioned that she doesn't like men, but she likes women. She falls on women, that's what she says. And in the next 2-3 minutes, she repeated it 3 times. She was basically throwing each and every time. She was throwing it at us, waiting that we would condemn her for that. We didn't react on that. She was smoking, we call it weed or whatever she was smoking, well, at least you could smell it. We didn't condemn her. That's not why we wanted to speak to her. We wanted to speak to her about Jesus. Because that, if we talk about Jesus and if the relationship with Jesus is correct, then those type of things are going to fall into place as well. We could have condemned her immediately. The door would have been closed. We spoke to her anything around something like 30 minutes, 35 minutes, what we spoke to her, what we could speak into her life, what we could pray for her knees, what we could I gave her a card over here as well from the church. I even gave her a pen of the church. And I opened it and I said, "There's the sinner's prayer. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got it." Then she said, "I'm going to keep this pen and I'm not going to give it away. Then I know if I want to start a relation, I can pray that sinner's prayer." The situation with the rich man, if that guy would have been walked over here, we maybe would have taken a wrong decision. But Jesus is telling us, showing us, he loves that person and he wants to guide that person to the solution by telling him, "Sell your stuff and give it to the poor. Give it to those where you actually were looking down onto. You've got to give it to them." And then he says, "One thing you lack." There's one thing which lacks to make your obedience complete. And I think also when Jesus said, "One thing you lack," then the person must probably, his eyes opened up. Now I'm getting the answer. Now I know what I must do to be happy forever. And Jesus becomes very practical. And he says, "Sell. Sell whatever you've put your trust in. Because you're putting your trust in money. You're putting your trust in your possessions, in your wealth. Sell it. Get rid of it. Because then you cannot put your trust in it anymore." And he also says, "Give it away to the poor." The ones where he must maybe looking down on, where he had pride in his life. "And then you will be happy forever. Then you will have treasure in heaven." That's where your treasure is going to be. That all your possessions are going to be sold, going to be given away. You don't put your trust in the money anymore. And then it comes. And he finishes off with the invitation. Jesus says, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." And the "follow me," that's the part. What's going to make him happy forever? Following me. So Jesus is giving him the total answer. He's giving him actually the full packet. He tells him what to do. And then at the final end, he also says, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." Take up the cross, yes. We know it as Christians. You've got to leave everything behind. And sometimes you're not that favorable in your working circumstances or in the street or anything like that if the people know that you are a Christian. We've got to give it up. We've got to put our life down. We've got to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And then the reaction from that rich young man. And it says, but he was sad at this word. It's nearly like the clouds are closing up and you get a type of a thunderstorm which is setting up. The guy's face must have looked like that. He was sad at his words, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Maybe he came at home, and maybe he told his mom and dad or his brothers and sisters, I spoke to Jesus, and this is what Jesus told me to do. Maybe he has done it. We don't know. There is talk about it, that the Barnabas, who went along with Silas and with Paul, the Barnabas was this rich man, but there's no proof of it. But I'm also happy with it that Jesus, when he spoke to that rich man, he knew what was going to happen, because Jesus knows everything. So he knew what was going to happen with that person, that he was going to take the right decision and that he was going to do it. So Jesus was speaking into in his life. He was guiding him over there, helping him, that he was not trusting on money, but that he was putting his faith in God and specifically in Jesus. If we go to the Old Testament, we see Lot's wife exactly the same. She also looked around because she had to leave all those possessions behind. She didn't have a bag with her, what we've got on wheels when you go over the airport or anything like that. She didn't have anything. She left everything behind. She still wanted to look around because that was still her idol, that was still her God. This story was for me many years a type of a proof that you can bring the gospel to somebody and then you leave it. Then you don't follow up, because there's no following up what Jesus is doing over here. Jesus is not saying to the rich young man, can we meet 2 weeks down the line, can we meet again for a cup of coffee and see how we've progressed? No. Jesus didn't follow up. He gave him the message. He didn't ask him a second question and said, okay, what do you think about it? Or anything like that. The guy turned around, felt sad, and he left. And I thought, okay, I can also do exactly the same. Leaving a message with somebody and then simply leaving it. And then trusting it will happen. But with time, I realized I can follow up. And it's actually my duty to follow up. If I've given a message to somebody, or even I've given a word, or if I've done something, then I've got to follow it up. I cannot just leave it, which I thought, based on this story beforehand, that I could do it. The people what we be speaking to on a Thursday evening, I write down the names. I've got a small booklet at home. And many times I put my hand on that booklet, then I speak a blessing over that seed which has been sown to those people. What's going to happen, I don't know. But I follow up. Those of you who were in the church, I think it was 2 weeks back, where I asked you that you should write something for Jehovah Jireh, the provider, that you should write it down. I took all those pieces of paper, I took them along. I'm not interested in what's written on it, but they're laying on my table, and now and then I put my hand on it, and I speak a blessing over it, that what you've brought to God, that is going to happen, so that I follow it up, that I'm not going to leave it. Because what is following up, what does it actually mean? It means that you're going to do something after an early event that is connected with it. And I've got three types of examples. The first one which I would like to take is typically a business type of following up. You went to a certain place, you showed interest in the product, you've given your details, and then afterwards they come back to you and they say, okay, we've given you a quotation, do you want to carry on or you don't want to carry on? If I really want to talk in today's terms, such a company is Google. If you searched, the next time you go onto your computer again, then suddenly you've got adverts of things what you've searched for yesterday. They're very good with their follow-up. Their follow-up is perfect, actually. They won't let you down. They will send you adverts if you've bought or haven't bought. That is a typical follow-up. Initially, you made contact, and then they follow up. We also have got to follow up, and it's more in a medical type of a field where people are going to a doctor or to a hospital, and then you go for a checkup, a follow-up to the doctor. And you also have got to follow up where a person wrote a book, and then based on a previous book, they write a type of a follow-up. We maybe can say that the first letter of John and the second letter of John, he wrote a letter following up his first letter. But did Jesus actually, did he follow up? And I thought about it again, and I thought, okay, did Jesus follow up? And if I take a look at this story, I would say, yes, he followed up. Because Jesus continuously replied to what the guy was saying. He wasn't just giving him one answer and then let him, but Jesus was following up. And in other places, we also see that if we take the disciples, they were with him for 3 years. Initially, he made contact, and then he followed up. Martha, Maria, and Lazarus, he followed up. It's written there that he has been there a few times. So he followed up. He didn't just made one contact and then let them go. He followed up. And one place where he really followed up, he actually gave instruction to follow up. It's Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then this further part will be on the board now. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Can we see the follow-up there? And God is giving instruction for the follow-up. Once we've baptized the person, we're not leaving him. We must make sure inside the church, this person is now his brother or sister. We must speak to the person and speak into the person's life. And if we take a look at the first word over there, make disciples, and the word teaching, some translations you basically get it twice, that it talks about teaching and teaching. And the words are not exactly the same, but very similar. And where it is talking about make disciples, that they are somebody is going to become your disciple, that they're going to become your pupil. And then teaching is that you are going to learn, that you're going to teach something to somebody. But what is important? Because sometimes we also enjoy it to give our knowledge to somebody else who actually doesn't need it. We dump a lot of information on such a person, but the person is not actually interested in that type of information. But if you're a good teacher, then you give what a person is needing. And this is what the rich man also said to Jesus, good teacher, because what he was giving was exactly what the people needed at that time. And then the follow-up is basically in three items. We've got often three departments. We've got a group follow up, what we're doing over here. We're following up each and every week, also in a small group. Then you also have got to follow up what you're doing on your own, in your inner room, where you've got your Bible, where you're praying, and where you're with God. You're also following up because initially you made contact and you're following up. And then you also have got to follow up where you've got contact with somebody who's mentoring you, who's speaking into your life, whom you're allowing to speak into your life. This is as what the rich man came then to Jesus. He was allowing Jesus to speak into his life. Now I want to summarize it a little bit. We spoke about Jesus teaching the rich young man, and also that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And Jesus used that opportunity that he could speak into that person's life. There was a godly input which could be given into that person's life, in the rich man. The same with the disciples. Jesus also gave a godly input over there. And Jesus wants us, all of us, to follow up. That we're going to follow up in our own life, which means in our relationship with God. We cannot say, "I've made contact with God, now I'm happy for eternity." No, We've got to follow up continuously. We've got to be in relationship with God. We've got to seek His face. And that is, if we take the cross, we can put it as the vertical, and then the horizontal one is the one contact that we've got with the other people, where we are speaking into other people's lives and where other people are speaking into our lives. So it's a giving and a receiving type of teaching what is happening over there. And a follow-up is about a relationship. It's about teaching. It's about discipling. That is where follow-up is all about. We are being discipled and we are discipling other people. We are being followed up and we are following up with other people. And this is the message that I would like to give to you this week, that you're going to follow up with God and with the people around you. Stay in contact with God. Let Him speak into your life, in your inner room, but also with other people. Speak into other people's lives. The rich man said to Jesus, "You're a good teacher." But each and every one of us is a good teacher if we are telling another person about eternal life and how they can get eternal life. If such a person comes with this type of question to you outside, what must I do to get eternal life? Then the person would be pressing on the right button over there, and you will just give them all the information and say, okay, you've got to have a relationship with God. That's where it is about. And then also that other people are speaking into our lives, that we're allowing other people to speak in our lives. You can stand now if you want to. Now I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are God and that you want us, that we should follow up. Follow up in a relationship with you, but also follow up in a relationship with other people. That we are being discipled by you and that we disciple people around you and that people are going to be discipling us as well. And that we can be taught, that we can be taught by you, Father, and that other people can teach us and that we can teach other people. It's just a continuous process, Father, that we are busy with you, with your kingdom. And that has got to be the first on our mind. And where we saw that a rich man had his wealth and his possessions, what kept him busy, and where he was continuously focusing on, that we can focus on a relationship with you, Father. That is the most important thing, because that has got eternal life. All the other things what we receive on this world, it will stop, it will die, it will rust, or when we leave this planet every year, we won't be able to take it along. But Father, the relationship with you, that is so important, and that's why it is so important that we are continuously following up. But Father, we cannot do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit for that. The Holy Spirit to give us the energy, the power to do it. And also that we can speak and hear through the Holy Spirit from you. That you can speak into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And as all eyes are closed, and I want to ask that question this afternoon, where you say, we're talking about following up. But follow up can only be if there was a first contact. But I never had a first contact with God. I never made that decision in my life that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And if there's maybe one this afternoon who says, but I want to make that initial contact this afternoon. I want to make that first contact this afternoon. And I want to accept God as my Father, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as my helper. But I've never done it publicly before, and you feel that you've got to do it this afternoon, and the Holy Spirit is stirring you, then I'm asking you to raise your hand now. Thank you, Father, that you are God, and that you want to remain in a relationship with us, but that you're leaving it for us to follow up with you. Thank you, Father, that the week to come, that we can be in contact with you and in contact with people around us, that we can give and that we can receive godly input from you as well, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to do communion now, and I'm going to ask the musicians as well that they're also going to be part of communion. Because I'm going to ask you something strange today. This awkward pastor always has got strange things. I'm going to ask you that you're going to take the symbols, and we're going to start from there, that you take your symbols and that you take your place or take any other place. We're going to play some music, but just take the symbols, think about it, what Jesus has done for you, and ask God that question. Which is the one thing, God, which is still lacking, as what the rich man asked? What is the one thing between you and me, Father, which is still lacking? Which is still blocking that communication with you, which is still in between? And then sort it out on your own. Bring it to God that it can be taken away, that there can be a clear connection between you and God. If you say your connection with God is 5G times 100, it's such a good connection what you've got with God, then I'm going to ask you that you say, still, Lord, what is the thing would you ask me to do? Because if I'm going to be in contact, it means on the initial step what you've made, you make your next step, you make your next step. You are going to build your relationship with God. It cannot remain always the same. We've seen the encounters, which has been shown just now with the announcements. Maybe you've got to come and attend the encounters. Maybe you've got to do Bible school that God is telling you to do Bible school. Maybe you've got to come and join us with evangelizing on a Thursday evening. Maybe you've got to become a member of the church over here. Maybe you've got to look for a small group here inside the Shofar. But you're asking God, Lord, what is the one thing which is lacking? What is the one thing what you're asking me to do, what I must do now in the next season? We're basically starting today with the next academic season, if we can put it that way. That we are going to start a new season, but that we also make a commitment towards God. So I want to repeat it again. So you take your communion, you can have your communion. Before we're going to take it, then I'm going to pray as well. Then you can take the communion, and you can sit wherever you want to sit. You can speak to God. Ask them, what is the one thing? What God is asking, what is there between you and God? And then the other thing, if there's something with a commitment, what God is asking you that you're going to make in this season, then please then make that commitment with God. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life. And Father, the rich young man came to Jesus and he wanted to know. And Jesus gave him all the instructions what he had to do. And then the last part was actually the most important. Follow me. Because if he would have been following Jesus, he would have acknowledged Jesus and he would have done what Jesus was telling him to do. And we thank you, Father, for your love, that you've sent your Son so that we can have a relationship with you. And that we also can follow up on that relationship with you. And we thank you, Father, that today that we can have the symbols, that we can have the bread and the wine, which is remembering us again of what Jesus has done at the cross for us. He died for us. And it was such a joy for Jesus to be able to do that. Because after that, he knew that through his death, people would be able to get eternal life. People would be able to approach the Father. People would be able to enter the throne room because he would be the door through whom we would be able to go into the throne room. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done at the cross, that you died for our sins. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're helping us to continuously follow up with other people and follow up in a relationship with God. That we're not going to let that relationship die in time, but that we will keep it going. Thank you, Father, for what you've given us, and thank you for the symbols who are going to remind us again which we can see as a type of a follow-up in a relationship with you. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.